This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد عبدك ورسولك النبي الأمي وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع ومن قلب لا يخشع ومن عين لا تدمع ومن نفس لا تشبع. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا. We begin by thanking and praising Allah, the most deserving of our thanks and praise, and we beseech Him to shower Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam with compliments and salutations and His peace and mercy and blessings, and upon his family and his companions, and all of those who follow his perfect tradition until the end of time. We ask Allah to teach us that which benefits us and to allow us to benefit from that which he has taught us and to increase us in beneficial knowledge. Likewise, we seek refuge in Allah. We ask him to protect us from information that does not benefit, that does not bring us closer to him or his pleasure. We ask him to protect us from a heart that does not tremble at his remembrance, from an eye that does not shed tears, from a nafs that does not find satisfaction. And we affirm that nothing is possible except if Allah makes it so, and He is the one capable of making the most difficult achievable. As to what follows, we concluded the chapter last week of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's dealings with people of special needs, people with different types of physical challenges or ailments or disabilities. And now we are moving to the next chapter, which is very close and similar, but a bit more broad and general. And that is ta'amulihi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ma'a ashab al-masa'ibi wal-bala. How the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dealt with different people and different individuals who suffered losses or endured different types of calamities or challenges. And first of all, before we actually get into some of these narrations, it's important to understand that this is the sunnah of Allah in His creation. The pattern of Allah in His creation is that people will be tested in different ways and on different levels. Some may be tested in their health, some may be tested in their wealth, some may be tested with a loss of some type, whether it be a loss of a loved one or family member, or a loss of some type of opportunity, if you will. But the idea is that there will be tests, there will be challenges. And that is the nature of this dunya. That's what differentiates dunya from akhirah. That's what differentiates this life from the hereafter. When a person is admitted into Jannah in the hereafter, may Allah make us amongst them, then there are no more challenges, there are no more difficulties. But this temporary life is one of challenges. And every human being will be tested. It is not possible that any human being will live this life without going through some form of a test or another. It's not possible. It's only that the tests vary and differ from person to person, and from situation to another. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained in a hadith, in an authentic hadith, why is it exactly that Allah carries out these tests? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "An Abi Hurairah radhiyallahu anhu qala qala Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, man yuridillahu bihi khayran yusib minhu." Abu Hurairah narrates in a hadith recorded in Bukhari that the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever Allah wishes and wills good for, He will test him in some way. Take something from this person. Imam al-Baji, rahimahullah, he comments on this and he says, يُصِبْ مِنْهُ بِالْمَرَضِ الْمُؤَثِّرِ فِي صِحَّتِ أَوْ أَخْذِ الْمَالِ الْمُؤَثِّرِ فِي غِنَاهِ وَالْحُزْنِ الْمُؤَثِّرِ فِي سُرُورِهِ والشدة المؤثرة في صلاح حاله فإذا صبر واحتسب كان ذلك سببا لما أراده الله تبارك وتعالى به من الخير. He says Allah might test someone by taking away some of their health, so they may have an illness, taking away some of their wealth, so they experience some level of decrease in their belongings, or perhaps in their, you know, with some experience that will take away from some of their happiness, perhaps. And the idea is, what will be the reaction of this person? So if this individual is patient and endures and seeks reward from Allah, meaning, so they don't react to the opposite of that, meaning they don't react with displeasure in the decree of Allah, or they don't react with being unhappy with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decided, then that experience will actually be a means of elevating that person. And that's the khayr, that's the goodness that is meant by in this narration. I remember one time I came to class of one of my teachers, and when I sat down, he was talking about something, and I'm not sure what it was. But at that perfect time, he mentioned something which was wonderful. And he said, you know, there's some individuals that don't have an enormous amount of voluntary good deeds. They fulfill their obligatory deeds, but you know what? This might not be the guy that's so generous in charity. This might be the girl that's not standing up all night in Qiyam al-Layl praying and making dua. This isn't someone who might be fasting so often, voluntary fasts, meaning they're not your ideal, amazing, superb worshipper, if you will. It's an average person that does their obligatory deeds. But Allah has love for this individual, and Allah wants to raise their rank. And they're not doing all of the voluntary deeds that would elevate their rank, so Allah gives them a test, some challenge that's within their ability to endure. And when they respond to this challenge with patience and with perseverance and seeking reward from Allah, then they meet Allah in the hereafter and they have a huge wealth of good deeds and they don't know where it came from. And they will say, oh Allah, I am not like these people around me that are anbiya or truthful people or martyrs or people who give so much sadaqah or people that did so much extra fasting and praying. Where did all this come from? And it will be said, this is from your sabr. This is the reward of your patience. That's why in Surah Al-Ra'd, Allah says that the angels greet some of the believers when they are to enter Jannah, and the angels say to them, Salamun alaykum bima sabartum fani'ma uqba ad-dar. Salamun alaykum. You are safe now. Safety and tranquility and peace be from Allah with you now that you are going to enter Jannah. Why? Because of your patience. Because of your sabr. فَنِعْمَ عُقْبَ الدَّارِ. This abode, this home that you're going to enter into, you can't get better than that. So that is the wisdom behind these different challenges and tests and difficulties. عن أنس بن مالك رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال عظم الجزاء مع عظم البلاء وإن الله إذا أحب قوما ابتلاهم فمن رضي فله الرضا ومن سخط فله السخط. This is a hadith narrated in At-Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah, and the scholar said it is sound. The Prophet ﷺ said on the authority of Anas ibn Malik that the weight and the value of reward is proportional to the weight and the challenge of the test from Allah. And if Allah loves a group of people, He will give them a test. So whoever is content, whoever has rida, whoever is content with what Allah has decided, then they will have rida. They will have the pleasure of Allah upon them. And whoever is reacting with arrogance and rejection and displeasure, then they will have the displeasure of Allah upon them. And if a person has rida from Allah, then there is nothing more valuable than they can have. طيب, let's talk about the Prophet's dealings with these individuals that he came across. Since we said everybody goes through these experiences, so now let us, now that we understand from our perspective, how about when we come to deal with others? Because again, this class and this gathering is all about dealings. So how did the Prophet ﷺ deal with others when he came across them in this situation? First of all, كان صلى الله عليه وسلم يدعو المصاب إلى الصبر والاحتساب ويحزن لحزنه وربما بكى. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would make dua. He would make prayer and supplication, and he would remind and call upon a person who is going through a difficulty. He would remind them to have patience, and he would remind them to seek reward from Allah. And he will feel sad with their sadness, which is basically empathy. And empathy is one of the highest levels and forms of emotional intelligence, that you are able to put yourself in the shoes of the other person. You might not be experiencing what they're experiencing, but you try really hard to feel what they might be feeling. And you won't be able to feel exactly what they're feeling, but you can try to get even a fraction of that. And when you go through that emotional process and try to put yourself in their shoes, then you have an understanding, and then you'll actually be able to connect with them emotionally and in a way that will be supportive. وَرُبَّمَا بَكَى. And even sometimes he would be sharing with them in their moments of sadness, to the extent that he would cry when they would be crying. You know, and we're not talking about fake crying, we're talking about actually putting yourself in another person's shoes and trying so hard to imagine what they would be feeling, so you end up eventually crying when they are crying, because their challenge or their difficulty is so moving. And that's how the Prophet ﷺ connected with people. It wasn't a shallow or superficial interaction, but it was a meaningful one. So let's look at this narration. عن أسامة بن زيد رضي الله عنه قال أرسلت ابنة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إليه إن ابنا لي قبض فأتنا فأرسل يقرئ السلام ويقول إن لله ما أخذ وله ما أعطى وكل عنده بأجل مسمى فلتصبر ولتحتسب فأرسلت إليه تقسم عليه ليأتينها فقام ومعه سعد بن عبادة ومعاذ بن جبل وأبي بن كعب وزيد بن ثابت ورجال فرفع إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الصبي ونفسه تتقعقع كأنها شن ففاضت عيناه فقال سعد يا رسول الله ما هذا فقال هذه رحمة جعلها الله في قلوب عباده إنما يرحم الله من عباده الرحماء. This is narrated in Al-Bukhari and Muslim. It's of the highest level of authenticity. Usama ibn Zayd says that someone sent a message with the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, saying to inform the Messenger of Allah that our son, a young boy, had passed away. So they are asking him to come and visit them. So the Prophet responded to that message with a message, and he said, "Yuqri'u salam." He said, "Give them my greetings of salam. Give them my greetings of assalamu alaikum." And he was saying, "Say to them, Inna lillahi ma akhadh, to Allah belongs what He has taken, wa lahu ma a'ta, and to Allah belongs what He gave. Wa kullun 'indahu bi ajalin musamma, and every single creation of Allah and everything that Allah decides has a particular decree and appointed time." Meaning the implication of that is when Allah decides that a person will pass, will die, that is something appointed and decided by Allah. فَلْتَصْبِرْ وَلْتَحْتَسِبْ. So she should be patient and she should seek reward from Allah. Speaking about the mother who sent this message. So when this message reached the family, they responded with insisting that the Messenger of Allah come and visit them. تُقْسِمُ عَلَيْهِ لَتَأْتِيَنَّهَا. She took an oath, she swore by Allah, "I swear you must come and visit us." Which is really intense. And the Prophet informed us in another hadith that if somebody asks you, and they ask you by swearing, taking Allah's name, as long as it's not something sinful or wrong, then you should fulfill that. Don't reject them. But again, it shouldn't be something taken lightly. Unfortunately, in a lot of our cultures, we get so used to using that, pulling that card, if you will, with something that is trivial or not necessary. So there needs to be some gravity to the matter when we take an oath with the name of Allah. So the Prophet responded. So he got up, and not only did he get up, but he gathered a lot of noble people from his circle of companions, Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, Mu'adh ibn Jabal, Sa'd ibn Ubadah, Mu'adh ibn Jabal, and others. These are very noble and respectable and knowledgeable companions. Meaning he gathered a group of really honorable people to go and visit. Meaning this is an important visit, an important matter. So he went and he visited this family, and so they brought the body of this child to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He had just passed, just recently, a few moments before. And the Prophet began choking on his own breaths, and he began to cry, and his eyes shed tears. So his companion Sa'd, who was one of those, this might have been, you know, the first time he sees the Prophet reacting that way with those kinds of emotions. Perhaps that is why he reacted in the way he did. But he was inquisitive. He said, "O Messenger of Allah, ma hadha? What is this?" You know, it's as if, you know, he was surprised to see the Messenger of Allah reacting in this way. So the Prophet ﷺ said, "هذه رحمة جعلها الله في قلوب عباده." The Prophet said, "This is a manifestation of the mercy of Allah that He has placed in the hearts of His servants. These tears that are shed, this is the result of having mercy." So to be callous or to be hard or to be cold in such situations, meaning that means there is a lack of mercy in that person's heart. Meaning they need to get a nice dosage of mercy. So the Prophet said, "إِنَّمَا يَرْحَمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الرُّحَمَاء." He said, definitely Allah shows mercy and deals with mercy with those servants of His that show mercy to others. If you want Allah to give you from His mercy, then you need to show mercy to others, other individuals and the other creation of Allah that you come across. So the Prophet said, "إِنَّ لِلَّهِ مَا أَخَذْ." And by the way, this is a prophetic supplication to make and to say to someone when they have a family member or a loved one that has passed. We say to them, "إِنَّ لِلَّهِ مَا أَخَذْ وَلَهُ مَا أَعْطَى وَكُلُّ شَيْءٍ عِنْدَهُ بِمِقْدَارِ فَاصْبِرُوا وَاحْتَسِبُوا وَإِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ." We are taught to say to the person that to Allah belongs what He has taken, and to Allah belongs what He has given. So if Allah gave you life, or gave life to someone in your family or someone close to you, then that's Him giving. It came from Him. وَلَهُ مَا أَخَذْ. And if He takes that soul back, then He is only taking that which He Himself gave. And He is the one who gave it, therefore He is the one who can take it when He sees fit. So it's to console the person that this soul has returned back to its creator. وَكُلُّ شَيْءٍ عِنْدَهُ بِمِقْدَارٍ. And everything that Allah decides has been carefully and perfectly measured. Timings, events, it's all been measured, determined, and recorded by Allah. To us, it's a calamity. To us, it's something that happened suddenly. We weren't expecting this to happen now. Or we didn't know that it would happen now or when. Yes, because our knowledge is linear. But Allah's knowledge is not linear. Allah knows what will happen before it happens. And Allah's knowledge is so vast that He knows what could have happened, even if it didn't happen, how it would have been. But we don't have that kind of knowledge. That's the difference between the ilm, between the knowledge of Allah and the ilm of the creation. وَكُلُّ شَيْءٍ عِنْدَهُ بِمَقْدَارٍ فَصْبِرْ وَاحْتَسِبْ. So be patient. Be patient and count. احتساب literally means to count something. Literally means to expect and to hope reward from Allah. احتسب. Expect and look forward to that reward from Allah. وَإِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. And all of us, inna, all of us, we belong to Allah, and to Allah we will return. When you own something, you can take it whenever you want because it's your property. Did we create ourselves? Allah asks in Surah At-Tur, أَمْ خُلِقُوا مِنْ غَيْرِ شَيْءٍ أَمْ هُمُ الْخَالِقُونَ. Allah asks a question that He doesn't answer because the answer is so obvious. Allah says, were they created from nothing or did they create themselves? Neither of the two. There is only another option possible, which is that, oh Allah, you are the one that created us. So if He's the one that created us, then He's the one that we are a property of. And since we are a property of Allah, we don't own our lives, then He can take back His property when He wants. It's very simple. Just like if you had something you owned, you would take back possession of it when you saw fit. And Allah is the most wise. He doesn't do anything without wisdom. وَكَانَ يُعَلِّمُهُمْ كَيْفِيَةَ الصَّبْرِ. Not only did the Prophet verbally remind and instruct and call them to be patient, but he explained and showed them how to express patience, how to express sabr. Let's see this real life story. This is an amazing narration. عن أنس بن مالك رضي الله عنه قال. This hadith is so full of wisdom, it's unbelievable. مر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بامرأة تبكي عند قبر على صبي لها فقال اتق الله واصبري قالت إليك عني فإنك لم تصب بمصيبتي ولم تعرفه فقيل لها إنه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. In another narration, فَمَرَّ بِهَا رَجُلٌ فَقَالَ لَهَا إِنَّهُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فَقَالَ مَا عَرَفْتُهُ. وَزَادَ مُسْلِمٌ. In the narration of Muslim, فَأَخَذَهَا مِثْلَ الْمَوْتِ أي من شدة الكرب الذي أصابها لما عرفت أنه صلى الله عليه وسلم خجلا منه ومهابا. فأتت باب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فلم تجد عنده بوابين فقالت لم أعرفك فقال إنما الصبر عند الصدمة الأولى. This is a hadith narrated in Bukhari and Muslim. Anas ibn Malik narrates, he says, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed by a woman who was crying in a very loud manner as she stood over the grave of her son. Young boy, Sabi. Still a young boy who had just passed away. And he had clearly just been buried, and she's standing over the grave. She can't bear to leave the side of that grave, and she is crying, tabki, she's crying very loud. So the Prophet passed by her when he saw her in this condition, understood what the situation is. He came to her, and he said to her, اتَّقِ اللَّهَ وَاصْبِرِي. He told her, be mindful of Allah, and express patience. Show patience. Exercise sabr, patience. فقالت, so she responded, إليك عني, get away from me. Who is she talking to? She's talking to Rasulullah. She said, get away from me. فإنك لم تصب بمصيبتي. You have not been tested with my test. You don't know what I'm going through. ولم تعرفه. You have no idea what I'm going through. These are very common words. When someone is going through like a really difficult situation and you want to try and help them express patience, they very often they'll respond this way. Man, you have no idea what I'm going through. You've never been through something like this. Who are you to tell me to be patient? Let's see what you would do if you were going through my situation. Right? Very common. Maybe some of us have said this to someone when they advised us, perhaps. Emotions are very high. There's anger, there's sadness, there's anxiety, maybe some depression, loss. It's a difficult time. So what did the Prophet ﷺ do? Probably if it was one of us, we would say, hey, relax, calm down. I'm only trying to help you out here. I'm just trying to remind you it's for your own good. Or maybe we would get on the defensive. No, I've been through more difficult things. Remember when I had such and such and such and such? Many of us would react that way. What did the Prophet ﷺ do? He went away. We don't even have any mention. قَالَ ذَهَبَ قَالَ فَوَلَّى غَضِبَ. None of that. All we have in the narration is Fast forward, someone came to the woman and said, "Hey, did you know that was the Messenger of Allah that was talking to you?" He didn't even respond to her statement. So here, there's a really big wisdom. Did she react in an appropriate way? No, she didn't. Even if it wasn't the Messenger of Allah, even if it was just any average person that was giving her this advice, it's not appropriate for her or anyone to react that way. You know, when you're being advised, the appropriate thing is to accept that good advice and not respond with, you know, that kind of verbiage. But being that it's also the Messenger of Allah, someone that deserves more respect from her, it made it even, you know, more inappropriate for her to react that way. So when someone came to her, in the narration of Bukhari, it said that somebody came to her, a man came to her and said, "That was the Messenger of Allah talking to you." So she said, "Ma araftuhu." I didn't know that was the Messenger of Allah. She was so caught up with her grief and her emotion at that time, probably she didn't even look at who it was talking to her. You know? And that happens sometimes when a person is so engrossed in their emotions. In a narration of Muslim, there is an extra phrase that is added there, which is that the narrator describes فَأَخَذَهَا مِثْلَ الْمَوْتِ. It's like when someone told her that, "Hey, you were talking to the Messenger of Allah," she almost, it was like she was going to pass out, like she was going to die right there from embarrassment and disbelief that, "Oh man, how could I have regret? How could I have reacted that way when the Messenger of Allah was giving me good advice?" So she went to the house of the Messenger of Allah and there was no one there outside of his door. So she spoke directly to the Messenger of Allah and she said, "Lam a'rifka." She said, "I didn't know that was you that was talking to me earlier." So the Prophet responded to her and he said, very simply, in few words that carry so much wisdom, إِنَّمَا الصَّبْرُ عِنْدَ الصَّدْمَةِ الْأُولَى. He said to her, well, real patience, true patience is exemplified at the earliest moments of when the calamity strikes. To be patient is to be patient at that time. Once a lot of time has passed, time, you know, heals, as they say. Or at least it reduces some of the emotion. Might not go away completely, but things calm down with time. So yeah, definitely, it's easier for a person to be patient after the calamity by a while. Several hours, days, weeks, months, etc. But at that moment when the calamity strikes, that's when you're expected to show patience. And that's the time when most people lose patience. That's when it's most... But that's sabr. If you wait till much later when everything calms down, and then you say, "Oh, I'm having sabr." Yeah, thank you. Everybody can have sabr at that time. Or most people. But right at the beginning of the calamity, that's when you find difficulty. That's really what sabr is. That's what true patience is. قال الخطابي, the Imam al-Khattabi, رحمه الله, he said, المعنى أن الصبر الذي يحمد عليه صاحبه ما كان عند مفاجأة المصيبة بخلاف ما بعد ذلك فإنه على الأيام يسلو. ولذلك قيل كل شيء يبدأ صغيرا ثم يكبر إلا المصيبة فإنها تبدأ كبيرة ثم تصغر. Imam al-Khattabi, he said that what's meant by this hadith, what is when a prophet said إنما الصبر, that definitely, truly, the patience, what he meant is the patience that is praiseworthy, that you mention that person and you say, "Man, that person is a person of patience." It becomes descriptive of that person. Why? When they were able to have that patience, عند مفاجأة المصيبة, when that calamity caught them by surprise at that moment. If they can be patient at that moment, that's a patient person. But once a lot of time has passed, and then a person shows patience, then that's easy for most people. That's why they said, everything starts small, and then grows and becomes bigger. Except المصيبة. They said, except a calamity. It starts big, and then it gets smaller over time. I remember I was with one of my teachers when a young brother in the community here, his father had passed away. And he was still relatively young. And so I remember we went, it was here in Mission Viejo, and we went and we visited, and I was with one of the imams, and he taught me something so beautiful. And he really connected with that young brother on a personal level, and he told him, this experience that you have right now, it's like, you know, when there is a ball right in front of your face. A small ball. Right in front of your face, it looks really big. But if we keep moving it away and away and away and away and away, eventually it becomes so tiny like a dot, and then eventually you won't see it anymore. That pain and that emptiness that a person feels when someone close to them dies. And that really, I noticed at that moment, it helped that person. Because it was still a young person. This kind of visualized his experience. And I saw him feeling better at hearing that metaphor. Maybe I didn't verbalize it in the same way, but you get the idea. That this feels really big right now, and it's only something that will take time to become easier upon your chest. So he explained, this is how to have patience. How do you have sabr? Somebody wants to ask, I want to be a person of patience. Well, hold yourself down, control your response at the moment when you are tested. And by the way, sabr is like a muscle, as some of our teachers would say. It's just like a muscle. It needs to be worked out. So with each calamity that you face, each time you're able to control yourself and express sabr and patience, your sabr muscle, your muscle to be patient, will get stronger and stronger and stronger. But each time you blow up and you react in a way that is inappropriate, you are weakening that muscle. And then it will be harder as time goes on, as each experience goes on. That will become a pattern of behavior. To not control your anger, to not control your speech. It will become a part of that person's behavior. So it could be something so tafeh, something so small, and they just lose their temper over it. They can't have patience. Why? Because it's become a pattern of behavior. But if you try with each pinch, with each pain, with each calamity, with each disaster, you hold yourself down, then that will become easier for you. Naam. Naam, the Prophet ﷺ used this language tool in multiple things. He used it with ilm, with hilm, with sabr. The Prophet said, إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ بِالتَّعَلُّمِ وَإِنَّمَا الْحِلْمُ بِالتَّحَلُّمِ. And as you mentioned about sabr, tasabbur. So the brother is mentioning a narration that to have sabr, to acquire sabr, means you have to do tasabbur, meaning you have to keep expressing patience time and again, time and again. The Prophet said, ilm, knowledge is acquired through ta'allum. Even the word has thiqal, it has linguistic or phonetic, weight to it. Because you have to keep struggling in that learning process to learn. You have to keep struggling to be patient so that you can become a person of patience. To become a person of patience. May Allah make us people of sabr, people of patience. وَكَانَ يُبَيِّنُ لِلْمُصَابِ أَجْرَ الْمُصِيبَةِ وَثَوَابَ الْإِحْتِسَابِ عَلَيْهَا. The Prophet also expressed, just like in the previous chapter a few weeks ago, the Prophet would mention the great reward and the value of expressing patience to kind of motivate you to react in the appropriate way. عن قرة بن إياس رضي الله عنه قال كان نبي الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا جلس يجلس إليه نفر من أصحابه وفيهم رجل له ابن صغير يأتيه من خلف ظهره فيقعده بين يديه. This is such a beautiful narration. الله أكبر. فقال له النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أتحبه؟ فقال يا رسول الله أحبك الله كما أحبه. فمات أي الولد. فامتنع الرجل أن يحضر الحلقة لذكر ابنه فحزن عليه. ففقده النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال ما لي لا أرى فلانا قالوا يا رسول الله بنيه الذي رأيته هلك فلقيه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فسأله عن بنيه فأخبره أنه هلك فعزاه عليه ثم قال يا فلان فقال يا فلان أيما كان أحب إليك أن تمتع به عمرك أو لا تأتي غدا إلى باب من أبواب الجنة إلا وجدته قد سبقك إليه يفتحه لك قال يا نبي الله بل يسبقني إلى باب الجنة فيفتحها لي لهو أحب إلي قال فذاك لك فقال رجل يا رسول الله أله خاصة أم لكلنا قال بل لكلكم This is a hadith narrated in Nasa'i and Ahmad, and the scholar said it is sahih, it is authentic. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on the authority of Qurrat ibn Iyas, he would sit down in a halaqa, like we're doing right now, sit down in a gathering with a group of the companions. And there was one gentleman in that group who used to always bring with him his young toddler son, young in age, and he would play and come from behind his father's back and jump in his lap and sit there. And he was a beautiful child. And so the Prophet would see this man with his young boy being so playful and enjoying jumping over the back of his father. And the Prophet was happy to see such a beautiful sight. So the Prophet asked the man, he told him, أتحبه? You know, he wanted to hear the man express his love. He told him, do you love this child of yours? So the man said, O Messenger of Allah, may Allah love you as much as I love this child. Meaning, it's just out of this world, the love that I have for this son of mine. Shortly thereafter, that boy died. And the man became so sad at the loss of this son that he loved so much. Young boy. Didn't even get to spend many years to enjoy the company of his beloved son. And that man couldn't come back to that gathering with the Messenger of Allah because just sitting in that position would remind him of that experience. And sadness would overtake him. So he was absent. So the Prophet of Allah hadn't seen him for so long. So after some time, the Messenger of Allah, he missed that guy. He said, hey, where is that guy with the beautiful little boy? Used to always be here and was such a joy to have him around. Where did he go? So they informed the Messenger of Allah. They said, oh, you know, his son died. And he became, you know, overcome with grief. He can't even come and be reminded of how he used to sit here with his son. And so the Messenger of Allah went to go meet him. فَلَقِيَهُ The Prophet of Allah met this man. And he asked him about his son. And so the man confirmed the news that, you know, my son passed away. So the Prophet gave him ta'ziyah, azzahu, what we said earlier, to remind a person that to Allah belongs what he has given and to Allah belongs what he takes. And we are all going to return back to Allah. This is azza, ta'ziyah, and making dua, making supplication and prayer. And after he did that, he asked the man, he told him, Ya fulan, oh so and so. He said, which one is more beloved to you? That you would have that son with you alive. He would be with you right now. And you would enjoy him for the rest of your life. You would enjoy having him around with you for the rest of your life. That's one option. Or the other option is that you come tomorrow. Tomorrow meaning al-akhirah, the hereafter. You come tomorrow and any of the doors of Jannah, any of the gates of Jannah, and Jannah has how many gates? Huh? Seven. لَهَا سَبْعَةُ أَبْوَابٍ لِكُلِّ بَابٍ مِنْهُمْ جُزْءٌ مَقْسُومٌ Jahannam, the hellfire, may Allah protect us from it, has eight gates. It has eight angels. What's the verse in Surah Al-Muddathir? لا. طيب, it'll come inshallah. But the point is that Jannah has these seven gates. So the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, you go to any one of these gates and you find this son of yours has gotten there before you and he opens any of these gates to Jannah that you choose. He will open the gate to Jannah for you. So you enter into Jannah from that gate with your son. Which reminds me of يَفْتَحُهُ لَكْ, he'll open the gate for you. Reminds me of the verse in Surah At-Tur. Surah At-Tur, where Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَاتَّبَعَتْهُمْ ذُرِّيَّتُهُمْ بِإِيمَانٍ أَلْحَقْنَا بِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ وَمَا أَلَتْنَاهُمْ مِنْ عَمَلِهِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. Allah says, and those that have iman, وَاتَّبَعَتْهُمْ ذُرِّيَّتُهُمْ بِإِيمَانٍ, and then their offspring, their progeny, follows them, and they have iman as well. They have belief and conviction in Allah. أَلْحَقْنَا بِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ, we will reunite them with their progeny. They will catch up to them in Jannah. أَلْحَقْنَا بِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ وَمَا أَلَتْنَاهُمْ مِنْ عَمَلِهِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. So that's really a beautiful reminder. So the man said, بَلْ يَسْبِقُنِي إِلَىٰ بَابِ الْجَنَّةِ, I choose that my son gets to the gate of Jannah before me and opens it for me. That's the one I'll choose between these two options. So the Messenger of Allah said, then that's for you. Then that's for you. You will have that. So another companion overheard this conversation. Overheard this conversation. And he said, O Messenger of Allah, is that only for him specifically, or is that for all of us? Meaning, is this reward that you, that's a big deal. This child will open the gate, meaning you're going to Jannah. So the Prophet said, بَلْ لِكُلِّكُمْ, rather it's for all of you. It's not only specific to him. So this is really glad tidings for those parents that had to experience the loss of their children. And that's something that, you know, if you're not a parent, you can't imagine. You can only try to imagine that. But only the parents will know what that experience would feel like. It's something indescribable. So because it is so intense, and it's difficult to be patient in an event like that. But if that parent is patient, seeking the reward from Allah, then that child that they lost will be the child that opens the gate of Jannah for them. Allahu Akbar. Which is a huge, huge reward. طيب, in another hadith, عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال, يقول الله تعالى ما لعبد المؤمن عندي جزاء إذا قبضت صفيه من أهل الدنيا ثم احتسبه إلا الجنة. Abu Huraira narrates that the Messenger of Allah said, Allah says that if my servant, my believing mu'min, my believing servant, if I have taken his beloved, Al-Habib, the scholars, they said, كَالْوَلَدْ أَوَ الْأَخْ وَكُلِّ مَنْ يُحِبُّهُ الْإِنسَانِ, meaning someone loved to the person. Doesn't only have to be a child. Child or brother or relative or someone beloved to that person. Allah takes the life of that person from you. Allah says if they are patient and they ihtasab and they seek and expect a reward for their patience from Allah, they will have no other reward except Jannah. In another hadith, إن الله لا يرضى لعبده المؤمن إذا ذهب بصفيه من أهل الأرض فصبر واحتسب وقال ما أمر به بثواب دون الجنة. Allah does not allow, Allah will not be pleased with any reward except Jannah for the one that lost their loved one in this dunya, but they responded to that calamity with patience and with expecting reward from Allah. There is another amazing hadith specifically related to a mother who loses her child. And the Prophet ﷺ also mentioned this hadith, عن معاذ بن جبل عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ إِنَّ السَّقْطَ لَيُجْزَى لا يجر أمه بسرره إلى الجنة إذا احتسبته. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says the child that is a when a mother has a miscarriage, is there a term for that infant? Is there a term for, there's an English term for that. I can't think of it right now. Stillborn? Is that what it is? Okay. So the Prophet ﷺ said that if the mother has patience and expects reward from Allah with a miscarriage, the stillborn, then that child will pull her into Jannah with their umbilical cord. Meaning they will stay connected with that mother until they pull her into Jannah. So, I mean, that's a really difficult experience. And I remember I was teaching a class one time in, I think it was in Ottawa, and we were talking about this topic of we were mentioning some hadith and some narrations of the Prophet ﷺ, and there was a mother who came, and she had been someone who suffered a miscarriage, very intense emotion, but she hadn't heard these hadith and these ayat before. Nobody mentioned them to her. She didn't come across them, and she was explaining how hearing these narrations really brought her joy and filled an emptiness in her that she had for many years. So the Prophet ﷺ made these statements and these promises, and he mentioned how Allah makes these promises to motivate a person, to give them hope and give them something to look forward to far greater than what it is that they missed out on. If they have sabr, if they have sabr and ihtisab, patience and expecting reward from Allah. وَيُبَيِّنُ لَهُمْ أَنَّ الْمَصَائِبَ تُكَفِّرُ الْخَطَايَا. Let's mention one other thing before. Shurayh, who was one of the early pious predecessors, he said something really wise. He said, إِنِّي لَأُصَابُ بِالْمُصِيبَةِ فَأَحْمَدُ اللَّهَ عَلَيْهَا أَرْبَعَ مَرَّاتٍ. This scholar, Shurayh, he said, you know, when I am afflicted with a calamity, I thank and praise Allah for it four times. Four times. Why? He said, the first one, إِذَا لَمْ تَكُنْ أَعْظَمْ مِمَّا هِي. He said, إِذْ لَمْ تَكُنْ أَعْظَمْ مِمَّا هِي. He said, I do hamd. I say Alhamdulillah, I thank and praise Allah, I express gratitude to Allah that it wasn't more severe than what it was. So he has some difficulty. So he thinks, well, how could it have been worse? Oh man, it could have been this and this. Alhamdulillah, it wasn't that. So that's the first one, Alhamdulillah. He says, وَأَحْمَدُهُ إِذْ رَزَقَنِي الصَّبْرَ عَلَيْهَا. He says, then number two, I think about having patience and to be patient in the face of this calamity. So I thank and praise Allah that He allowed me to be patient. How many people go through this experience and they don't express patience? So I'm able to be patient, Alhamdulillah. وَأَحْمَدُهُ إِذْ وَفَقَنِي لِلِسْتِرْجَاعِ لِمَا أَرْجُو فِيهِ مِنَ الثَّوَابِ. And I thank Allah that He has granted me tawfiq, that He has given me the ability and the success to review and ponder and go back and try again and seek reward again from Allah. وَأَحْمَدُهُ إِذْ لَمْ يَجْعَلْهَا فِي دِينِي. And this is the most critical. He says, and the fourth one, I do hamd, I thank and praise Allah that He didn't make this calamity in my faith. You know how people say, I had a crisis of faith? For some people honestly express that. They're like, look, I don't believe anymore. There's a misconception, or there's confusion, or there's doubt about Allah, or His Messenger, or His revelation. That's a crisis. That's of the most severe, because that affects a person's relationship with their Creator. So he says, Alhamdulillah, it wasn't of that kind. It's something in my health or my wealth, that's fine. That comes and goes. In my connection with Allah, that's too valuable. So Alhamdulillah, it didn't happen in that. وَيُبَيِّنُ لَهُمْ أَنَّ الْمَصَائِبَ تُكَفِّرُ الْخَطَايَا. The Prophet ﷺ also, just like he expressed to people who endured calamities that this was a means of them getting big reward and getting Jannah, he also expressed to them that this was a means of purifying them from their poor choices. And Aisha رضي الله عنها زوج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قالت قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما من مصيبة تصيب المسلم إلا كفر الله بها عنه حتى الشوكة يشاكها. This is a hadith narrated in Bukhari and Muslim. Aisha, the wife of the Prophet ﷺ, said, the Messenger of Allah says, there is no calamity or difficulty or challenge that befalls a Muslim, one who submits to Allah, except that Allah, through that difficulty, expiates and removes from their record some of their sins or some of their poor choices, even if it's a thorn that pokes them. Even if it's a thorn that pokes them. That's why the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us that if there is anything that bothers you or pinches you, say Bismillah. Then say Bismillah. Why? So you will get reward for that, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will purify you of some of your sins. Even a thorn that pricks you, that is a means of being purified. So it's really a different mindset. You know, when somebody goes through a difficulty and they start thinking, there's you know, different mindsets that there can be. Very common mindset is, why me? I don't deserve this. This should have happened to someone else, not me. I do good things. This is what you do for me, God. I do good things and this is what you do to me, etc. Or there is a sense of entitlement. I am entitled to more luxury and more comfort. This is not appropriate for me. I'm too high and mighty to be tested. This is a mindset. Now, many people may not verbalize it this blatantly as I have. Some people do. May Allah protect us. But a lot of times this is what people are thinking. But there's, when you read these hadith, that this difficulty is like a cleansing, it's a totally different mindset. It's a different attitude. So then that same exact experience, you could totally flip it around and say, Alhamdulillah, I am being cleansed, I am being washed, I am being purified, I am going through a cleansing process. عن أم العلاء رضي الله عنها قالت عادني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنا مريضة فقال أبشري يا أم العلاء فإن مرض المسلم يذهب الله به خطاياه كما تذهب النار خبث الذهب والفضة. رواه أبو داود. In a hadith narrated Abu Dawood, and the scholar said it is authentic. أم العلاء, who was one of the companions, the mother of العلاء, she said, I was very sick and the Prophet ﷺ came to visit me. So we see the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Visit people when they're sick. It makes them feel good. Lifts up their spirits. And he said to her, Abshiri, good news. Imagine someone's in bed and they're like really ill, fever, pain. And you come and tell them, good news. That person's like, what good news, man? What's good? There's only pain right now. No, the Prophet said, Abshiri, good news. What's the good news? He said, O mother of al-Ala, marad al-Muslim, the Muslim, the believer, when they have an illness, yudhhibu Allahu bihi khataya. That illness is a means of Allah removing from that person, from their record, their poor choices, their mistakes, their sins, their bad deeds. And the Prophet gave her a metaphor. And this metaphor is so amazing, so she would have felt so valuable. He said, just like fire is used to purify gold and silver from impurities. You know, when they mine gold and silver out of the ground, it doesn't look shiny and nice. I mean, it has a glimmer, yeah, but it doesn't look the way it looks on jewelry and rings. Because there's pollutants. There's dirt and there's other minerals. There's copper. There's all these things mixed in. So what do? When they want to get you good, pure gold, 24 karat, shining, what do? They put it in the fire. Heat. Melt it down. That will separate the gold and the silver from the other impurities. And then you get that pure, valuable gold. So it's as if he's telling her, you are golden. You are so valuable. Like the most valuable thing that people, that's your value right now. That's how you are as a believer. As a human being who submits to Allah, who worships Allah, who lives with dignity and piety, you're like golden, man. But you know what? We make some mistakes. So we get some of these impurities. So just like they gotta put the gold in the fire to separate that, Allah puts you through the heat of an illness. And you be patient, you remember Allah, you'll come out of that illness like a valuable, pure mineral. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us people of patience. وَكَانَ يُسَلِّي الْمُصَابَ بِالْبِشَارَةِ وَكَانَ يُصَبِّرُهُمْ عَلَى الْبَلَاءِ وَيَعِدُهُمْ إِنْ صَبَرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ عن جابر بن عبد الله رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم مر بعمار وأهله وهم يعذبون فقال أبشروا آل عمار وآل ياسر وفي رواية صبرا آل ياسر فَإِنَّ مَوْعِدَكُمُ الْجَنَّةِ Jabir narrates that the Prophet ﷺ passed by the companion Ammar ibn Yasir and his father Yasir. And they were of the early people to accept Islam in Mecca. And his mother was Sumayya. So they were father, mother, and son. And they were being tortured. Now in the early stages in Mecca, the people that accepted Islam with the Prophet ﷺ, they were not welcomed warmly. But they were punished. So amongst those that were punished were these early believers. Ammar ibn Yasir and his father Yasir and his mother Sumayya. Tortured physically, really bad. I mean, they tied them in certain ways and it was really something hard to imagine. Persecution, religious persecution. So the Prophet ﷺ passed by them and they were left in that situation. And he couldn't physically do anything to help them. You know, they were being guarded. The Prophet ﷺ couldn't do anything. They had no one to protect them. In those days, it was a tribal society. If you come from a big, powerful family, your tribe will protect you. But if you're weak, if you're poor, you're oppressed, and you're wronged, and you're picked on, and you're persecuted. So that was their situation. But they did not want to renounce their faith. So the Prophet said, صَبْرًا آلَ يَاسِرٍ Patience, O family of Yasir. فَإِنَّ مَوْعِدَكُمُ الْجَنَّةِ Your appointment is in Jannah. Meaning, this is really bad, it's really painful, but the only thing to come next after this experience of yours is Jannah. That's what's going to happen next. So the Prophet ﷺ would mention to them about Jannah, about paradise and the rewards of paradise, to give them hope and allow them to endure and have strength through this calamity. And not all challenges and calamities are short. Some of them are short and some of them last a very long time. That's one of the wisdoms behind Allah telling us the story of Ayyub, Nabiullah Ayyub. Ayyub is one of the prophets and the messengers who came before Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he was someone who was tested with a very serious illness. And everyone left him. He had no one by his side. He was abandoned. So not only, it's bad enough that the guy is sick. Alayhi salatu wasalam, the messenger of Allah. Ayyub. On top of being sick, he is now abandoned. And everyone's staying away from him. Don't go near him. Stay away from him. Isolated, excommunicated. So physical pain and emotional, societal pain as well. And some of the ulama, some of the historians say that lasted 18 years. وَأَيُّوبَ إِذْ نَادَى رَبَّهُ أَنِّي مَسَّنِيَ الضُّرُّ وَأَنْتَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. Allah says, remember Ayyub when he called out to his Lord that I have been masani, I have been touched by a dur, by harm, evil, illness. And you are the most merciful. فَكَشَفْنَا مَا بِهِ مِنْ ضُرْ. Allah says, we uplifted that illness from him. But did it happen overnight? No, it didn't happen overnight. It took a long time. So patience is something that is expected at the moment calamity strikes, and it is something that is expected throughout the course of the challenge and the difficulty. And for those of us that come across people that are going through those kinds of experiences, let us emulate these character traits of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Empathy, feel what they are feeling, try, force yourself to feel the pain that they are feeling, cry with them, visit them, don't ignore them, console them, make dua for them, pray for them, give them hope, give them glad tidings, remind them of what is awaiting for them, should they have patience, and be supportive. You know, it's a lot easier for a person to be patient when they have people around them helping them. But you just leave someone out alone and you say, yeah, go be patient. Help them, be supportive. The Prophet ﷺ is teaching us through his actions and through his words to be supportive with those that go through difficulties. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us people of patience. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us people of empathy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us people of kindness and mercy. May Allah fill our hearts and our actions and our words with mercy and with kindness and with empathy towards others. May Allah make us of those who are pillars and who are supportive and help our brothers and our sisters, our loved ones, our neighbors who go through different challenges and difficulties. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those whose words soothe and bring comfort to those that are enduring pain and difficulty. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala adorn us and beautify us with the character of our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. May Allah unite us with him in the highest levels of Jannah. May Allah make us of those who listen and follow the best of what they hear. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى اللهم وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.